Scripture reading this morning is Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verses 10 and 11. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil.
Good morning. This week I ran across an interesting book by a fellow named Chip Ingram. He wrote a book called The Invisible War, and I think it really deals with the text that we're dealing with. He was a preacher in Santa Cruz, California, and one evening he was walking down Pacific Avenue, a very popular place for folks to spend the evening, and there were bars along that street, and as he walked along past one of those bars, there were two big husky guys in t-shirts standing outside the bar. There was a littler fellow who was obviously the fellow who was the bouncer at that bar, who was standing there and arguing with them. Rather significant argument going on. He obviously, before he'd gone out, had called the police, and within just a couple of minutes, a police car pulled up. Now, Ingram said he just had to sort of see what was going on, so he hung around to see what would happen. Interestingly enough, the police car pulled up and out popped a police officer. It was a young lady who was 4'11" tall. And there were those two big husky guys. And so he was curious as to what she was going to say. And so she said, gentlemen, do we have a problem here? And the two guys started in on her, shaking their fist and really sort of angry, etc. And she replied, excuse me, but I'm authorized by the Santa Cruz County to enforce the law. I'd like both of you over there against the car right now. And she reached down and put her hand on her pistol. Immediately, the two guys got over next to the car with their hands behind their back. And he said he was a bit surprised to figure it out. He wondered, what in the world, why would those two enormous bullies submit to this little tiny petite lady? And then he started thinking about it. He said it had nothing to do with size or strength. It was the authority that she had, and it was also the weapon that she had. And the two of those made the difference. It's interesting because our text talks about the authority that we have and the weapons that are ours. And we'll be looking at that this morning as we get together. It's really unfortunate, but many Christians kind of assume that at the hour of their conversion, all of the problems will go away. You know, everything's going to be just grand and dandy. There'll be no problems from here on. But that's really not the way it is. In reality, they're beginning a lifelong struggle, but the thing of importance is the resources they have and the authority of heaven is with them as they're in this wonderful struggle. And so all of that becomes, I think, important. We Christians are in a warfare. You may remember as we've been working our way through the book of Ephesians, the kind of tranquility that pervades the epistle. He begins by talking about redemption and the grace of God and the indwelling of the Spirit and what it means to live as family. He's done all of those things, and that's kind of tranquil. It's at that point that he makes this shift. He's going to talk about this spiritual battlefield. There's a rising call to arms because they're engaged in a battle that is a significant battle. So our text begins with the verses that we read just a few moments ago together. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. It's interesting that he says, finally. After all of this long section of this long epistle, he's coming to a kind of conclusion now. Finally, be strong in the Lord. The word for be strong there is literally a word for be empowered. And it's a word that is used that you may remember from Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who, and there's the word, strengthens me, empowers me. And so there's this call to realize that no matter what comes your way, because of the strength of God, you'll be able to stand it. And then he says something that's almost redundant to us in English, in the strength of his might. in his mighty strength. And so it's God's strength that really matters. And so we need to see that as the strength that indeed we have, the power of his might. As Hitler, as his appetite for power and territory grew, his army began to march across Europe. And because he had all of those tanks and that advanced technology, etc., a lot of the places where there was battle, there was really no battle at all. The folks against whom he would stand had rocks and stones and things to throw, but they didn't have any real weapons. And so here they are engaged in this battle. And so they weren't equipped for the battle. The same thing can be said of Satan, because Satan is the one who opposes us. And we're engaged in a battle as well. But unfortunately, a lot of folks don't even know that there's a struggle going on. And others don't realize the power of the one against whom we're fighting, or the strength that indeed is ours in the Lord. And it's at that point where he begins to give us some indication of this strength. We begin at verse 10. Put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Now that word full armor is an important word. There's a song that we sometimes sing, Soldiers of Christ Arise. You know that song? Everybody knows that song well. Soldiers, and put on the panoply of God. What in the world is a panoply? It's the full armor. It's two Greek words that mean all the armor. Put on all of God's armor, that you'll be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. And I really like the word there translated schemes. It literally is the word we get method. It's from his methods, and you'll be able to stand against those. Our foe is a significant one. It's not against flesh and blood. He goes on to say, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. There's a real battle afoot here, and that battle is against the devil and his forces, his angels, the bad guys. And the bad guys are significant. But we have this protection that is ours. We have the whole armor. And again, that whole armor of God is significant. The imagery there is the image of a Roman man of war. And we're going to get the kind of implements that this fella has. A lot of folks want to see the picture of Paul here. Paul is under house arrest in Rome, and we'll learn later in our text in verse 20, but also in Philippians, that he's chained to a soldier. And everybody wants to say, he's using that soldier who's chained to him as his illustration. Probably not, because the kind of armor that we're going to see here, the kind of armor that the Christians are to put on, is the armor, the heavy armor, for a big battle that's about to take place. And so he's going to call for them to understand that. He will call for them to put on the full armor of God. And that phrase again, to put on, is a word that indicates taking this armor and to take it very seriously. He'll continue in verse 13. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, there it is again, that you may be able to resist the evil day, having done everything to stand firm. So, it's a sort of call to take it, this is urgent, to take this very seriously. There is a battle that is afoot. And he wants them to see this battle, to take on this armor, and to be able to stand against our foe. He goes on then to tell us a bit about the kind of armor that's available for us, the kind of weapons that are available to those of us who are believers. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to stand to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's interesting as we get all of these bits of data in terms of what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to gird ourselves, and the picture there of girding yourselves is putting your belt on. Now, you got to remember that folks back then all wore long robes, and ladies can appreciate this. If you have a long dress, you know what it's going to be like. If you're going to be in a major battle, you don't want a long dress. And the picture there is they would grab the robe in the middle, pull it up, and tuck it in their belt. And so it's put your belt on so that you're ready to do this battle, having girded your loins with the truth. And the emphasis is upon the truth. We've learned the message of Jesus, the gospel, that's the truth. And then he talks about the kind of implements that we're supposed to use. We're supposed to put on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate is designed, again, to go on the front of the soldier, and it's designed to protect your vital organs, your heart, your liver, those vital organs. And so you're going to put on this breastplate of righteousness, right living, so that you'll be able to stand against the devil. And so it's the breastplate of righteousness. And then the next part has to do with your feet, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Interestingly enough, folks back then always wore sandals, but soldiers would wear studded sandals. They were studded, those of you who remember studded tires with the snow, etc. They've got studs in those sandals so that they can stand firm and not be knocked down, not slide all around. But here it is to shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We have the good news of peace that will enable us to stand. And it's the peace that we have in Christ Jesus. That word peace is a really important word in our Old and New Testaments. It's more than just absence of war. One of my grad students did his master's thesis on peace, shalom, that word is the Hebrew word, in the book in the books of Samuel and Kings. And what he discovered was that the word peace there didn't mean absence of war. It meant life as it ought to be. And so we have this good news of life as it ought to be. And that good news enables us to stand against the foe. And then he says, next you need to take up this shield, the shield of faith, which will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. And so now you've got this big shield. There was a little shield that some soldiers would use, but in major battles, it's a big, big shield, and you hold it in front of you. And so if the enemy is shooting arrows at you, and frequently they would shoot flaming arrows, and of course a flaming arrow that hits you is going to hurt badly and burn, etc. But if it hits this shield, which is a wooden shield that has metal on the end, on the front of it, it's going to put out the flame. And so he here says that this shield that we have is the shield of faith. You see, as believers, we've put our trust in God. And because we put our trust in Him, we can stand. And that makes the difference. And so it'll be able to extinguish the flaming missiles of the evil one. It'll be able to put out what the devil has tried to do, to put an end to us. And then he says, take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So the helmet they put on, you can understand putting the helmet on to protect your head. And then it's we're supposed to take our sword, and that's the only weapon we really have. You don't have a gun back in those days. You had a sword. And here it's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And so we have this sword. Now, do you remember as kids, back in the olden days, in Sunday school, we would have sword drills? Some of you are shaking your heads, yes. You remember, what was a sword drill? Well, they would say a passage, and the first one to find the passage would win, you know. And so it was designed to help us make sure we knew where the books were in the Bible. And so we would, you know, flip real quickly to try to get to the page, and so we could read it first and be the first one there. A sword drill. Well, here it is this sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's interesting, when Jesus is tempted in the wilderness by the devil, every time he responds with a passage. And I think that's amazing. He always responds, interestingly enough, with a passage from the book of Deuteronomy. And you think, Deuteronomy? Why Deuteronomy? Because it's very much the Word of God for Israel, and it's the Word of God for him because he is the Son of God. They were supposed to be the sons of God, but he's the Son of God, and he responds with that text from Deuteronomy. Lord willing, starting next Sunday, I'm going to preach for a while from the book of Deuteronomy because it's such a good book. And so we're going to spend a little time in the book of Deuteronomy because Jesus did, and we're going to as well. And so our sword is the Word. It's the message. And we do battle with the devil when temptations come our way. We need to be able to say, ah, this is what God says. This is how God would have me live. This is God's Word for me. Interestingly enough, the word for word there is a word for the spoken Word of God. It's what God has said. And I think that's important as well. It's at that point that he shifts gears. He moves from the kind of weapons that we have to prayer. With all prayer and petition, pray in all times in the Spirit with this in view, to be on alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, and pray on my behalf that that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. He now moves to the practice of prayer. Prayer and petition, there are really two words that are used there, prayer and petition, two synonyms almost, to pile up the significance of those words. I don't know how many of you back in high school read John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. I remember it well. If you remember reading it, Pilgrim is making his progress through the wilderness, and he's doing battle again with the devil, really, with the forces of the devil. And so here he is, and this is this wonderful text. He's making this journey through the valley of the shadow of death. And in the middle of that valley, he sees the mouth of hell. And it's interesting because here's the text. And ever and anon, the flame and smoke would come out in such abundance with sparks and hideous noises, things that cared not for the Christian's sword, which, by the way, is the Word. It didn't care for his sword, that he was forced to put up his sword and betake to himself another weapon called all prayer. And thus he wielded this mighty weapon, and the fiends of hell gave back and came no further. Interestingly enough, when you're doing this battle with the devil and you've got on all this wonderful armor, there are times that you feel discouraged and you don't know whether you're going to win. Seems like I'm losing the battle. And the call here is to pray. It's a call for us to pray. And it's really interesting. It's to pray always, at all times, interestingly enough, in every season, literally, to pray in the Spirit, and to pray in this way, to be alert with perseverance and petition for all the saints. Interestingly enough, we're supposed to pray for all the believers. Pray for everybody else. And that's a call for us as a church to pray for one another. We need those prayers so that we'll be able to stand against the evil one. And then he says, especially I want you to pray for me. I'm under house arrest, and I want to make sure that you'll pray for me that I'll know what to say. I want to make sure I know what to say to those folks around me. I think it would have been fun to have been one of those soldiers who has Paul under arrest, because I have a feeling they got to hear a lot of preaching. He undoubtedly was telling them the story of Jesus and hoping to turn them around and to wake them up. But it's really a call for them to understand that. And he wants to make sure that he's bold and that he has this courage to speak the message. I'm an ambassador, one sent with a task of the gospel, and I want to make sure that my utterance that I'll have an open mouth and I'll be bold. It's at that point that he continues, and he'll shift just a bit. He's going to mention a fellow named Tychicus. "But that you also may know about my circumstances and how I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make everything known to you. And I have sent him to you for this very purpose, so that you may know about us and that he may comfort your hearts." Tychicus apparently is carrying this letter to the church in Ephesus. He's carrying the letter, and when he gets there, he's going to report everything that's happening to me here in prison. And I know you're all worried about it and how things are going, etc., but he's going to give you a report, and he'll produce some comfort. At that point, he gives us his kind of benediction. Notice, "Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all of those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible." Notice all of those phrases of importance. He wants them to see peace and love and faith, and they need to understand the grace of God. All of those are important ways to close a letter. He calls them to that wonderful close. So in our text is very much about the battle that we're facing. And it's a real battle. The devil hasn't just sort of given up and said, "Okay, anything you guys want to do is okay with me." The devil is really at work in the world around us. And we've got to stand firm against the devil. We've got to be able to put on this armor that God has given us and stand firm and take the word of God and stand against the devil. That's a call for us as believers. We're going to sing the song that we've announced as an invitation song, or that we'll be singing as an invitation song in just a moment. And it really is very much a call for you to think about who you are and what God has done for you. We are to put on the whole armor of God, and we are to see what He has to offer for us. If you need to respond to that invitation in any way, we'd be happy to assist you in just a few moments as we stand and sing.